Here we are. This is Matthew McGee.
And Jose Aviles.
And we're in the limelight. I love the name of this. This is our second show.
It is.
Don't you love the name of this podcast? It kind of reminds me of our days, Jose, dancing the night away in New York at the limelight.
At the limelight.
Yeah, remember? Yeah. Google that for some of the kids listening. They won't even know what's going on.
Isn't the phrase... went to church.
Went to church,
Came very, out of the limelight.
It did, very old school.
Yeah.
And that's me in many ways. So here we are, happy almost Halloween.
Yeah, I am excited for Halloween.
Do you love it every year? Are you a big Halloween person?
I am a big Halloween person. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily get dressed up every
Me
year.
Either, you know why? Because we dress up all the time, probably.
Correct, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, some nights I like just, if I'm not working on Halloween in drag, I'll say, oh, it's a night off, I don't have to wear anything. I'll just greet the trick-or-treaters. In my own little outfit, looking like myself. I'm a big fan of Halloween. I'm a big fan of horror movies. And the reason I love Halloween, honestly, is because I am a huge fan of Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Ah.
And I'm wearing the shirt right now. This sort of the queen of Halloween.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many of you out there know Elvira, but she was basically, the story around it's kind of funny. They needed a new horror host for an NBC affiliate. It's either NBC or ABC. And they had auditions, and everybody came to the audition dressed fully in black, like a vampiress. And she came in regular street clothes and decided, I'm going to play it like a valley girl. And they were like, we must have her be the mistress of the dark. And so Cassandra Peterson is like a hero of mine. It's like one of the first drag queens that I really enjoyed. She's drag.
Yeah, she totally considers herself a drag and persona. Yeah, I love Elvira. And I'm also a huge fan of horror movies.
Me too. If you had a favorite, what would it be?
Oh my gosh.
It's so hard to say, but maybe here's a better one. What was your introductory horror film? The first one you ever saw.
Well, introductory was The Exorcist.
Oh my gosh, that's hardcore.
That's hardcore for a young little person trying to watch The Exorcist. But you know the 70s, right?
Right.
The 70s. And I actually was... really enamored by the filming of it all.
Right.
But also just incredibly scared.
No, terrifying. It's a terrifying movie.
And I think Linda Blair, just thinking about a young woman actually doing what
you
she
know, it's,
was doing.
Yeah. It's crazy what she did.
Child.
And you know, there's something interesting about Linda Blair. The Exorcist became such a part of who she was as an actor that oftentimes when they talk about the character's name is Regan or when they talk about the demon's name is Pazuzu, we're doing a horror movie podcast right now. But it's true. But they never name it that. They always go, oh, that's Linda Blair. And I think it really changed what her career could have been because people really think when you go into Spirit Halloween store and you see the little animatronic version of her, the little room, it basically kids go, oh, that's Linda Blair instead of the character from it. So it kind of really affected her life.
She actually speaks about it a lot that
she does
had to try to shake this off.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it kind of put her in really weird places that we wouldn't do now to a young actor like that. It's very interesting. I do love that movie. My favorite was 1985's Fright Night. I don't know if you saw that.
I
which
have,
is basically The Boy Cried Wolf, but a vampire story.
Yeah.
I love that movie. I love everybody in it. Chris Sarandon is the Jerry Dandridge. He's gorgeous.
Then
Roddy McDowall, brilliant, in a role originally written for Vincent Price, the character of Peter Vincent, but Vincent Price couldn't do it. So Roddy McDowall was the second choice.
Wow.
And fantastic in the role. And that's basically about a young guy who has a vampire living next door and needs the help of a hammy horror host to take him down. It's my kind of film. And speaking of great Halloween movies, horror films, we're really lucky today. I can't believe this. I've known her for a long time, and I've always been enamored with her just as a cabaret performer, as a singer, and as an actress, and a great teacher. But Eugénie Bondurant, I like to say Bondurant. Eugénie Bondurant, she is really having a moment. I feel like Wendy Williams. She is here. She is of the moment. Hello? She is the moment, but she's doing so well, Eugénie, in films like The Conjuring 3. She just appeared in Werewolf by Night on Disney Plus, a great Marvel property.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier, and she is actually now a star. This is great to say. Eugénie is a star of the Hunger Games universe, the Conjuring universe, and the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's pretty amazing.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, and she lives right here in St. Petersburg, so I'm thrilled to talk with her. And it looks like, too, Juan, I was looking at this, and it made me laugh. I'm Jose. It looked like we were talking about two productions of the same musical happening right here in Tampa Bay.
That's right. Yeah, the Browse the Chaperone is actually being done at two places, at Matt Theater and the Francis Wilson Playhouse.
And do you know the Drowsy Chaperone at all?
I do. I've watched several productions of the
Drowsy
Chaperone.
Oh, my gosh. Chaperone. I love it, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And it's kind of fun that there are two different versions, because I think you should go to both. Because I think what's unique about this show is it can be interpreted in any way you want to.
That's right, yeah.
Like a good friend of mine, Doug Buffalo, is playing the man in the chair. And I think he's going to be just a fantastic choice for that. So it'll be interesting to talk to both of them about this great show that is a love letter to musical theater, but also super, super funny.
Yeah.
So let's see. We've got some other stuff in our headlines. Oh, this is kind of fun, actually. St. Petersburg's largest Halloween event, Halloween on Central, will close down 2 miles of the city from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. on October 30th, from Dr. MLK Jr. Street to 31st Street. The Halloween, people celebrating Halloween will hit the streets, and they kind of want to know how we're celebrating. We have a wonderful producer, Abby. She's here with us. Sometimes she goes, wrap it up, McGee. Wrap it up. His name is Jose McGee. you can call me Michael. Everyone does that to me, too. but how are we celebrating? We kind of talked about it a little bit. I'm not really doing anything. I actually have a performance this Halloween. I hope I say this right, but we'll... October 28th at Freefall, we're doing I Put a Spell on You, which is part of the Freefall Sings Cabaret, and I'm a special guest, and we're doing lots of Halloween, what did we say? Lots of songs from pop, rock, and the great Frightway. So I'm doing that at Freefall on October 28th, so I will be performing that evening.
Yeah.
But on Halloween, I think I'll probably be home watching horror movies and handing out candy to the kids. How about you?
I think that's exactly what I'll be doing as well. It's usually a low-key night. If I go to a party or anything like that, if I get invited to a party, that would be fun. But normally, I would just like to stay home.
I know.
And watch horror movies. Just back to back.
I think it's so interesting because theater people, we just live our lives in costumes, you know? So I always feel like theater people don't always celebrate Halloween like you might think.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It's very true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unless there's a dance party out there that I can go
to. Or going out to the club or something. You can just wear a t-shirt that says, this is my costume.
Which
I love.
Yeah. And they tend to be fun.
Or a great church costume where you put a black eye on and then you wear a pea on your shirt and you're a black eyed pea.
Yeah. Or anything sexy.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're sexy. I nurse, mean, sexy same. Devil, sexy everything.
It's,
well, always. Okay. This is interesting. Talk a little bit about this one, Jose, this St. Pete mood board, I've got a picture
I was just
of
told
this gentleman
about
now.
This, which I think is really, really interesting, really funny, actually. There is a St. Pete mood board is auctioning off a hot guy, and I think it's sort of like a random hot guy.
It is, yeah.
And there's a picture of a random hot guy, and
He knows he's being auctioned off, right? I think so.
We'll have to talk.
We're going to talk with Abby about this, the producers. Yeah. No, he knows this. Okay, great.
And they're raising money for hurricane relief, and currently they've already raised almost $3,000,
which is kind of amazing because really we were so lucky here in Tampa Bay. Though I think, you know, what was really sad is a lot of shows got canceled. American Idiot, American Stage had to end a week early. We hate that anytime that sort of thing happens.
Yeah.
But we didn't get the direct hit that people in Fort Myers and Venice and other places did. So we did luck out, but there's still so much, even in the Tampa Bay area, but people still need help.
Yes.
So the fact that they're raising this kind of money. And I'm looking at him right now.
He's cute.
I think he's cute. I do.
Cute.
He's got a little bit, he's got that little kind of stubbly look. I'm going to show him to the camera. Why not? Here he goes. We probably don't know him. We don't have clearances to show him, but it's okay. But he's totally cute in a way that's like, we're going to hang out. We're going to have a great time. Yeah. I may not call you back later. You know what I mean? That's the kind of guy.
But I love the photo. He's like sitting in a coffee shop.
I know. He's got his phone on him. Hopefully when you're having the date,
the phone,
he won't be on the phone.
Right.
You know, who knows? But he's fabulous. And really, something really important to talk about before our break, and I'll let Jose do this because he is the education director at American Stage. And you've officially opened Drama School for Adults. So talk a little bit about that because I know everyone has a lot of drama and their life.
we started our drama school this past week, and we have classes for kids, youth, and teens. And we have some adult classes that are happening. We have an intro to acting class, an improv class, and an acting for TV and film. So we're about to talk to a movie star. And
I know, it's kind of amazing.
If you get inspired, come on over, take an acting for film and TV over at American Stage.
Well, and Eugenie's such a great teacher too, you know, so yeah. People really know that about her as yeah. well. So you can learn great things, and who knows, you might be in The Conjuring 62. because they'll keep making them as long as they make money. You know, Jose, do you remember your early days in drama school? Do you remember when it all started for you?
Oh my gosh, yes. I started fairly early. I was in performing arts high school, so I actually started training in high school. And then went to Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh.
Wow,
but
yeah.
After that, Carnegie Mellon was great. But after that, it was I had a mentor who I just went and took an advanced acting class with a woman named Irene Baird.
Yeah.
And she was also from Carnegie Mellon University, but she was this sort of professor in the city of Philadelphia. And she was spectacular. She was amazing. She really was able to sort of get a lot out of her students. And eventually I ended up taking over her class and teaching it. So that's how I started teaching, actually, was being inspired by this woman who just came in and really took my
technique to a different
level. I think
that's just an amazing thing. Well, for me, you know, truthfully, this is a great story, and I'll make it a quick one. Abby's like, come on, Matt, we're not going on all day here, but let's just do that. We're here in beautiful St. Petersburg, beautiful overpriced St. Petersburg, and we're going to keep going all night. No, you know, in college, I was really, honestly, before there was such a thing, really, before people could say you felt like you were non-binary, right? That you mm-hmm. felt you had different parts of your gender that you wanted to unlock. I realized in college that I enjoyed playing roles that were women's roles, I guess, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word. Sure. And I knew drag was a big part of who I was too.
Yeah.
And a lot of my instructors at the time discouraged that because this was, you know, 19, blah, 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 and they were sort of like, you can't do that, you won't work, right?
Yeah.
And then I had a very special teacher, Dr. Kara Mickelson, who was my voice teacher, and I couldn't, the musical theater teachers were full, and she was an opera coach.
Yeah.
And she said, you have such a duality in your voice, I know we can get a feminine sound out of that.
Mm.
And to this day, when I've played things like Mame at Freefall Theater or the mayor's wife at the Oslo Rep, from even Edna Turnblad in Hairspray at American Stage, she cultivated this sound where, you know, when I did Mame, we didn't have to alter the keys. I was singing the Angela Lansbury keys.
Yeah.
And she basically, by teaching me so well and teaching me how to control my voice and how to pamper it and how to make it stronger, well, she also found a part of me that I didn't really know, that I always felt ashamed to kind of embrace.
Yes.
So there are teachers like that that change your life.
They change your life.
And she's still out there, and she's probably listening. I love you, Dr. Mick. But she really did. She basically said, you can do anything you want to do.
Yeah.
If you believe in it.
Yeah.
And you commit to it.
Yeah.
And I did. And so, I don't know. It's really interesting what a good education can do for you.
Yeah.
It can really find out who you really are.
It's very true. I think we could probably do a whole podcast on just this.
Yeah.
Together, we probably have tons of stories.
No,
about
but
it.
It's so true. When someone, you know, that's what's so great, though, about American Stage in general. And, you know, I think it's a jewel that they have, this education program. And I, you know, even at Freefall, when people call us about education, we always send them directly to American Stage because the program is so strong and so good. And we believe in it. And I know you all do as well. And just look what happened to me. You may find someone who doesn't really understand what they want to be or how they fit in this world of, you know, theater arts and film. And these teachers are the people that guide you to great breakthroughs.
That's true. So. And, you know, you can come in if you're planning on becoming an artist. That's great. But, you know, we also create community.
Yeah.
And we have a safe space to be creative. And that's kind of what we aim for. So come on down if you just want to meet people and just find a different community, an artistic community to be a part of. Because that's also what...
Isn't that what it's about?
These classes are
about. Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
So check it out, americanstage.org. You know, I'm sure they can find all the information about it. And you always are good on all the social media platforms to talk about the classes. So we're going to be right back with In the Limelight in just a few moments. I think every day, Abby says we have new sponsors, so maybe we have one right now. Let's hear from them.
Hello, Tampa Bay. This is Patrick Arthur Jackson, Associate Artistic Producer at American Stage. For our second show of the season, we're putting on a production of The Color Museum by the prolific George C. Wolfe. God created black people, and black people created style. This play will maneuver through 11 exhibits, each depicting a satire that reflects on prominent themes and identities of African-American culture. We're showing from November 2nd through November 27th. Book your tickets early at AmericanStage.org.
Welcome back, everyone. So today we are really excited to have wonderful actor.
Yes.
From The Conjuring.
That's right.
And The Devil Made Me Do It, Conjuring 3. Her name is Eugenie Bondurant, yes, which is a beautiful name. Also is in Interview with a Vampire.
And it feels like perfect, right? That name.
Perfect.
Even though it's not her name in the piece, but yeah, it does sound perfect.
It isn't my name in the piece.
It's exciting also that Eugenie is also from St. Pete.
That's right.
Indeed I am.
That's right.
I am.
It's so funny how we were talking earlier. You know, I love Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. I love Jamie Lee Curtis. Mm-hmm. I love, what's her name? Heather Langenkamp.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
From Nightmare on Elm Street.
That's right.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I still say she was Jada Pinkett at the time.
Yeah.
But Scream Queen. She's one of the best Scream Queens, yes, out there. And now Eugenie Bondurant. I go Bondurant.
You can say Bondurant.
Do you like that? Is a,
absolutely.
Is a Scream Queen now. Think about this. I
yeah,
know.
That's right.
I told them earlier that you were part of the Hunger Games universe.
Indeed.
The Conjuring universe.
Indeed.
And the Marvel Cinematic,
yes,
Universe.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
Eugenie,
that was my Scream Queen.
I always told them I really admire, I've always admired you as an actor, as a teacher, a great singer in your cabarets with your wonderful husband,
thank
Paul
you
Wilborn. We'll talk about his book a little too, which I now have
you
a copy of,
what?
Florida Hustle, signed by Paul Wilborn. And I'm so excited because I was actually going to go right out and purchase this. And now look, I get a complimentary book, which is
you know, I have
lovely.
I have a crush on him. So,
I know you do. You know him well.
Say.
But yeah. Eugenie, we're so happy you're here, and
thank
we're
you
so happy you're part of the great fabric of St. Petersburg, the arts fabric that we have here,
thank
these great
you
performers. So I'd love to just let the audience know a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, I'm the person who usually makes people scream.
That's
so,
true.
In terms of a scream queen, I generate the scream like, ah,
you
here
do.
I got the knife. Ah,
I
you
know.
Scream now, scream on cue.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And the most recent thing that came out is Marvel's Werewolf by Night, which
that's
is
right
very exciting. Just came out last Friday on Disney Plus. So it's a Marvel-Disney Plus collaboration.
I've seen it, and I loved it.
Thank you.
And I like how it introduces the character of Elsa Bloodstone, which is a real big part of... Marvel's going into their horror world right now, you know, with Blade, who,
right,
you know, and a lot of people don't give, I mean, they should. You know, Wesley Snipes says Blade was one of the first big Marvel movies to come out. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
he, you know, it kind of what made it, you know, popular again. So his movies, and I love all the, well, not so much Blade Trinity, but we'll talk about the third one on another podcast, Eugenie. But
okay,
Eugenie,
you're beyond me, so that's good.
Yeah, right.
No, not, yeah.
I know you from so many things, including a very, you know, a film from years ago called Space Truckers.
Yes,
I've always loved
yes
your work in that. And I actually am going to give you a huge compliment, and it is, you know the actor Doug Jones.
I do. Oh,
I feel
gosh
like
I'm
you are right up
him
there with him as one
really
of those transformative performers that can really just get out there and do anything with their
thank
body,
you
with their voice. And I think you're right up there with Doug Jones in terms of your work.
So can I just say something about Doug Jones? First
yeah
of all, I have a crush on him as well and have been itching to meet him. And recently I filmed a project called 115 Grains. It's coming out soon. It was filmed
yeah
here. And Doug Jones was supposed to play the role that I ended up playing.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
And so the producer, director called me and said, hey, listen, Doug can't make it. He's on Hellboy whatever.
Was and it three now?
Something.
I think it's three. Yeah.
And he, you know, there's a COVID situation and blah, blah,
sure
blah. Not with him, but, and he can't get out. And can you do it? And
oh
I said,
my
yeah
gosh.
I thought, what a compliment.
What an incredible
I'm
connection.
In for Doug Jones, man, that's
well
great.
And if
so,
the listeners
yeah
don't know
he's
him,
incredible.
I mean, they, you know, he's done everything from Pan's Labyrinth to
yeah
Abe Sapien and the Hellboy, the Del Toro Hellboy series.
Yeah.
And of course, The Shape of Water. And,
right,
and you know, I don't want to call it, it's bad to call it creature acting, but there is an art to that because
indeed
not only have you played characters like the occultist, and which, you know, is terrifying on its own in The Conjuring 3, but roles like the one in Space Truckers, which was
right
kind of like a, almost like a cyborg
yeah
robot.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's what exactly.
And then, of course, I always call her Tigress, but it's Tigress, isn't
it's
it?
Tigress. Yeah.
Tigress in the third Hunger Games film, right?
Fourth Hunger Games film.
The fourth
yeah
Hunger Games
yeah
film.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you've done some of that too.
Thank you. Yes, that is true. A lot of, you know, makeup and prosthetics.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of prosthetic work. Yeah. Not also, lately, but yeah.
Right. And yeah. also walk the runway for, and we were talking about this yeah. earlier, Balenciaga, because of the wonderful American Horror Story Coven.
Five shows this past year. Five shows. I've been to Paris 7 times from September to September. Wow. 7 times.
And tell us a little bit about this. Were you doing Balenciaga before they noticed you for Conjuring, or did they notice you in Conjuring, or how did all that come
so
to be?
So how that came about is Demna, who's head of house for Balenciaga, saw Conjuring, and supposedly he says, you scared me for 3 days. I had to have you in my show. So they reached out on Instagram. I thought it was a joke.
Right.
I was going, no, reach out to my agent and publicist.
Yes, of course.
And they said, well, who is that? And so I gave them the information.
Sure.
And sure enough, they were legit. Balenciaga.
Yeah.
And they booked me. And they
through Instagram.
Continue doing that. Yeah.
And you have a great Instagram account.
Thank
Everybody
you.
Loves
Golly,
that.
You're so complimentary.
How can they follow? How can they follow you on Instagram?
Euge, E-U-G, Bondurant. Yeah. B-O-N-D-U-R-A-N-T.
Now tell us a little bit about that name, because I know you have a wonderful background. One of the videos I saw, Paul Wilborn, he's so hilarious. He's also
yes,
like the
indeed.
CEO over there over at the Palladium, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Or, yes.
And which is a great venue.
Head honcho.
Yeah, head mm-hmm. honcho, the guy.
He tries and, to be head honcho at our home, but you know, that doesn't always
you
work.
Take care of that. But he did do a very funny video about your hurricane prep, and you make yes. rice and beans and gumbo and all this stuff. So you have this great, you know, history with New Orleans. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
I am from New Orleans. My name reflects that. That's my given name, Eugenie Bondurant. Yeah. And there are a lot of Eugenies, believe it or not, in New Orleans floating about. I think it's from when the French settled Louisiana back
right.
in the day,
mm-hmm.
and Eugenie was popular. It was probably called Eugenie back then. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and Bondurant is a family name. Actually, believe it or not, from the 1700s we came to America,
wow.
But not to New Orleans. We came to, we were Huguenots and kicked out of France. So
yeah.
fled France, came to America, 1700s before the Revolutionary War, and bam, here I am.
What a story.
Bondurant.
I
yeah.
know. I love
Last
it.
Four.
Love it.
Yeah. I love it. And
so,
but you grew up there.
I did. And yeah. you know what? One of the things that just came out, too, Interview with Vampire, was filmed in New Orleans. Oh!
Yeah.
So delicious and yummy and wonderful to be on that set.
Just, yeah.
I mean, the film, when you look at the monitor, I just thought, oh, people are just going to love
it
this.
It really is sumptuous, which
yeah.
is a great word to use for it, because that's what it
yeah,
looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
And that's on AMC Plus, I believe.
AMC
that's
Plus,
streaming.
Right.
Is it streaming right now? It
it's
is.
It's streaming
it
right
is,
now.
Yeah.
I think the second episode is coming up. I can't remember. Anyway, I play a madam in a brothel in 1910.
Oh
and that
gosh.
Was lovely. I had a red wig. A red wig that Matt would love.
I would love it. Red wig at night, sailor's delight. It's
yeah.
so true.
I had a beautiful beauty mark, too.
I know, wig envy and a beauty mark envy.
Yes.
You know me.
Know.
Well, we've both been in drag so much, usually,
exactly.
when you think about it. So my thought before we have to wrap everything up, because
no!
it looks like we may have to, our wonderful producer is telling us this, but Eugenie, a lot of people know you around here as an actress. They know you as a singer. They know this amazing work that you've been getting.
Thank
and
you.
I hope it continues and continues, because I'm in awe of you. I'm such a fan.
Matt McGee, I am in awe of you.
Really? I've always loved your work,
I bow down to you.
I
do.
That. Well, that's so sweet. But, you know, I've always thought so much of you. But tell us a little bit about, you know, your teaching is a big part of who you are as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I have a business called Station 12 Studio, yeah. and I teach at Greenlight Cinema, downtown St. Pete. And I have my wonderful actors who I love and adore. And they're out booking, and we celebrate that. And, you know, we have showcases, and it's just beautiful. I also teach Meisner. And that's a big part of me. You know,
yeah.
what I give them, I feel they give me in return. Like the sirens outside.
I know.
Yes.
We're having a moment
so,
here.
Anyway.
Well,
yeah.
they're coming to pick
anyway,
me up because I'm absolutely agog at being in the same room with you. So I'm about... he went down. But yeah, that's funny.
So I want to know about this T-shirt. Is this
this
right
T-shirt?
To talk
oh,
about
I have
that?
To tell this quick story. And can you could you bleep me out? Like maybe that kind of song. So I'm wearing
Elvira. I mean, really, that's pretty iconic.
I love her so much. Listen, my mother was so thrilled. She was like, "Oh, he's 11 and he loves Elvira. He must be so into her. Poor thing." She didn't know I wanted to be Elvira. But I love Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and I'm wearing this fun sort of vintage T-shirt. Halloween 19. What is it? Oh, Halloween 91.
Ooh.
This shirt, believe me. I didn't wear it in 91. It would have been a teeny tiny T-shirt, not like now. But this is a fun T-shirt. But listen, the funny story about this T-shirt. I was in a very popular Florida grocery store that everyone goes to. And I'm in line checking things out. I'm not even thinking about the shirt I'm wearing, okay, to set that up. And the person bagging the grocery says, hey, nice tits. And I went, what? And all I could think the whole time was, wait a minute, I'm not in drag. And is he talking about, oh my God, what? And then I looked down at the t-shirt, and of course, Elvira's ample cleavage is featured.
Oh, yes.
And I went, thanks. You know what I mean? Because it's a very weird comment in general.
It is.
But I've heard nice tits almost my entire career. No, and I've been using them as best I can. But
it's perfect for the season.
It really is.
Truly, Elvira.
It really
iconic.
Is. And you've done more than just horror movies and things of that nature and movies. So, I hope to see even more of that coming your way as well.
I do. I tell you, those characters really are fun to play, though.
They are.
I mean, keep them coming. The Arliss, the show that I was telling you about, there was a woman who was playing the wife of the football player who got in trouble. And I said, wow, you have a great role. She said, no, I play this every time. It's like, hit repeat. I want to play your role. And I thought, you know what? She's right.
Yeah.
I'm lucky.
No, you really are. Well, think about these character roles. I mean, I've always thought of myself as a character performer as well and a character actor.
Right.
That I always like to sort of disappear into the characters. And I know you do a lot of that as well. But you know what was so interesting to me when I really felt like, Eugenie is killing it right now, was all of the people after you did Conjuring 3, The Devil Made Me Do It, which you can stream on HBO Max, there were artists were doing renderings. They were doing their own versions of your character, and I thought, she's done it. I mean, there's fan art now.
It's so fun. Just recently, I got one a few days ago, little Legos.
So yeah.
It's a little Lego scene, and there's the altar, and there I am, and there's, Conjuring 3, and a picture of me with my mouth up. My mouth open, I'm sharp. Anyway. So I thought, this is really cool. Look,
I know.
This,
it's like a pop culture moment for you. And we're just so thrilled you're still here in the beautiful city of St. Pete. We love you here.
St. Pete supports artists.
They do.
That's how it is. I mean, that's the magic of the city. You know that. We all know that.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, and I'm glad I've met you.
Oh, I know. Isn't it great, Jose? Jose's the best.
I'm totally starstruck.
She really is. She really is the real deal. Yeah. She is the moment.
She is the moment.
We're thrilled to have you here.
Well, thank you very much.
How can we learn more about you, your website, any other things you want to tell us?
Well, you can go on Instagram at Euge Bondurant. Yes. You can go on Facebook, Eugenie Bondurant Actress, or Station 12 Studio, which is my acting studio where all my actors come. And I always posting stuff there, of course. And let's see, Twitter. At Euge Bondurant. Everything is Euge, E-U-G, a shortened version of my first name, Bondurant, B-O-N-D-U-R-A-N-T.
Everyone follow her if you aren't already.
And go out and see Werewolf by Night.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Woo!
Werewolf by Night is
baby.
So good.
Fun.
And it's so interesting on Disney Plus because it's a little scary.
It is.
Yeah.
And you know what? We had this whole few days, we had a full moon. So who is,
who's becoming a werewolf by night? Oh, gosh. I know I am. As I get older, hair sprouts everywhere. I'm a werewolf by night and by day.
And by day.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's better. Everybody says you're a bear, but I'm a werewolf. I don't want to take the bear title.
Exactly.
I'm not taking that on. Eugenie, thank you so much for being here. You're terrific.
Thank you, gentlemen, for inviting me.
We could do a whole show about you, and maybe we will one day in the sequel. The sequel, Conjuring 72. All right, it's great. We'll be back right after these words.
Join me on the first Monday of November for a stage reading of 5013 by Matza Ray. Join me on the first Monday of November for a stage reading of 5013 by Matza Ray. Our play's protagonist, Day Brown, is waiting to be released from prison with 3 days left on his sentence. Before he goes, he takes the time to talk to a young man, a teen actually, who is serving an adult sentence. It's going to be an emotional ride. Come, meet other artists, dive into a new play, and be part of the community at First Mondays by American Stage, hosted at Creative Pinellas on Monday, November 7th at 7 p.m. Visit AmericanStage.org for details.
As we stumble along, I love the Drowsy Chaperone. Let me tell you something. When I was in New York, I saw in the summer, I don't even want to say what year it is, but it was one of the first Broadway shows, because you know they're expensive. Mm-hmm. Do we know this?
Oh, yeah.
Broadway shows can be expensive. I saw Drowsy Chaperone twice, and because, I'm going to tell you a funny story, Georgia Engel played Mrs. Tottendale, mm-hmm. but over the weekend, Joanne Worley took over.
Oh, wow.
So I got to see Georgia Engel as Mrs. Tottendale and Joanne Worley, and very different, because you know, one is like, hello, I'm Mrs. Tottendale, and the other one is, I'm Mrs. Tottendale, you know. So for those out there who don't know either of these people, I'm old. You might need to Google them, but yes. We're so excited because The Drowsy Chaperone is coming to Tampa Bay. It is one of my favorite musicals. We were both talking about it, Jose, that we just think it's a love letter to musical comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In such a delightful and irreverent way, yeah. Which people love. So we have two different productions happening in Tampa Bay. And as I said before in the show, go see both of them because they'll be very different and from a very different perspective, and I like that, with different casts and things of that nature. So it'll be a lot of fun. But fans of this musical parody are in for a treat in this October. I think it's playing at Francis Wilson October 13th through the 30th, and it's playing at the Mad Theater October 14th for the 30th. So you could actually go on the 13th, see it at Francis Wilson, and then go to Mad and see it on the 14th.
Two opening nights.
Yes, two opening nights, two celebrations.
That's awesome.
Champagne all around. You'll have a headache afterwards.
Yes. And be drowsy.
You really will
be very drowsy.
Very drowsy.
You're stumbling along for sure.
You will plumble along, ultimately. But here we have Francis Wilson, Playhouse Director of Marketing and Associate Musical Director Nathan Dougherty, and Drowsy Chaperone Director for Mad Theater, Carrie Ann Stamatopoulos.
Yo, Stamatopoulos.
Was I good?
Yeah,
see,
yeah.
I'm not bad at these things. But you're going to talk about the dual show, so we're both going to ask you questions. So we might, you might answer them together. You might have a little fun with that.
Sure.
But is it a coincidence that both theaters are doing this at the same time, or did you plan it? Because you know, I've often heard there is a mile radius thing with the rights.
There is, and I'm not entirely sure what the rules are for that. But 100% coincidence.
Yeah.
And I think when all of our groups found out, we went, oh. Okay, cool, why not?
Yeah.
And I thought this was a good opportunity for us to maybe work together and push it out and, you know, get more people to come see both of the shows.
Yeah, I know. That's
a lot of the audiences don't always go to, you know, will cross the causeway to come from Pinellas to Tampa.
No, you're totally right about that. I was saying that before the pandemic, even at, like, Freefall, where I work there, so I watch, like, the numbers of people calling in, like, who's coming, what area codes, where are they from? Before the pandemic, we would have people from the 941, Sarasota, 813. They don't come over the bridge like they used to.
Yeah.
It's getting better slowly, but they don't do that. And a lot of times, you can do two of the same show. Like a lot of times we try to avoid shows when we're picking them, that if they've been done a lot in the area or done before soon, I don't think it's actually as much of a consideration as it should be. Because all shows have different perspectives.
For sure.
They're different.
Yeah.
So how do you both plan to approach it? And I'll throw this one to Carrie Ann first.
Approach the show. Well, for good or for bad, something interesting about my relationship with The Drowsy Chaperone is that I knew nothing about it just even like 6 or 7 months ago. I knew people really loved the show. People I respect really love the show. And when I heard Mad was doing it, I investigated it because I thought I might audition. And then when they said they were looking for a director, I'd been wanting to direct for them, so I wanted to submit. And also, when I investigate a show, sometimes I'm like, if I picture it in my head how it would be staged, I'm like, I might want to direct this sometime.
Yeah.
So my perspective on the show is I'm doing some things that are maybe a little more unconventional because I don't have a preconceived notion of what the show was. When I had it kind of mapped out a little bit in my brain, and then I actually sat down and looked at maybe some things online, I was like, oh, well, that's not the way I'm picturing it. So for any show that I direct, I kind of try to think of, I want to give the audience somewhat what they expect, but I also want there to be some surprises.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be that they can pull up a thing on YouTube and see my show that I did, because I noticed that with a lot of things, if any of us do that.
Sure.
You see the same choreography sometimes. I'm
Dolly
like,
almost always wears a red dress.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. So I know I'm doing some unconventional things, and I'm thinking that some theater people might not like that, but I try to direct for the people that aren't necessarily theater people. My mom and dad are coming. They know nothing about this. I work with 50 people at my workplace. None of them have heard of this show.
Well, that's an important point, too, about doing theater for non-theater people. They're a very different audience.
Yes.
Here's a little thing. I'm just putting this out there so it can be recorded for always. If I'm in a show and I'm playing a funny role, you're going to laugh at this, Jose. You're going to love this. So will Nathan. When I'm in a show and I'm playing a funny character, and it's not getting laughs in the rehearsal hall, I know I'm going to be great with the audience. But if the actors are laughing a lot, I'm in big trouble.
Yeah.
Because they laugh at anything.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Nathan, how just to the same point, like there's a question here, and I want Jose to take over too a little bit, but like how are they different and how are they the same?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to be seeing both, luckily, and so I'll be able to give a bit more of a rundown of that exactly. But yeah. I know we're going to be doing a lot more traditional, I think, because we're in a more traditional space than they are over at MAD. We have a typical proscenium stage. We seat 180 people. And a lot of the performers in our show love the nostalgia, the homage to musical theater that this plays. And I mean, we do have a few surprises like you do as well. But I if they love The Drowsy Chaperone and they loved it on Broadway and they, you know, maybe got to see it in other places, they will love our production too. We have a great cast and it's excellent across the board.
Yeah, that's great.
That's great. Carrie Ann, the show is actually happening at the Straz, right?
Correct, at the Schimberg Theater.
At the Schimberg Theater. So it's a little different than the Francis Theater, right?
Yeah, it's a very black box theater. Yeah. Only holds 100 people. The actors are right on top of you. In fact, when we were describing it to our cast members that have never worked in that space, we were like, literally, you're going to be right here in front of people. And they're like, really? That close? I'm like, yeah. And then so yesterday was the first time we were actually in the space with the cast. And they're like, oh, yeah, you're really, this is the front row? Uh-huh. We tried to warn you.
There's nowhere to hide.
You might be in somebody's lap if you take a wrong step.
You're in the apartment with the man
you
in the chair.
You are in the apartment, really works for the show, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, your theater is small, too, so both of them are intimate spaces, which is nice.
I think it works. I saw it at the Marriott Marquis on Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
It was big. You know, it was a big show.
Sure.
And all I could think the whole time was, in a more intimate setting, this is probably a real delight because you're right there in the room with them. I think that one of the things I really like about Tampa Bay is there are these very strong community theaters in town, really strong ones. Mm-hmm. And you can go and see some really great shows. Even like at Francis Wilson recently, there's not many places around town that could do like a full production of Follies.
Oh yeah, we just closed Follies. Huge. It was a large undertaking. We had a cast of about 40 people, and you know it was on a unit set, which was great. It was lovely. But we tried to be a little bit more daring in our selections, where they go, oh, how could this possibly be done in a space like this?
Right.
And they come and see it, and they go, oh, that's how. Okay,
cool. No, it's so true. Creative, because I think ultimately, with a lot of professional theaters, you know, there's so many things you have to take into consideration: the size of the venue, how much you're paying everyone, payroll. All these things come into play. And I think what's great about community theater is everyone doing it has a real passion for it, and it's very good. It's very uplifting for people to become involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy being able to go to some of the shows and go, oh, this is really a terrific production.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You know, we're trying to, at least with all of our local groups, to show just because it's a community theater group does not necessarily mean that you're only seeing amateur performers.
Absolutely.
We have performers that were in Follies that were in original Broadway productions of shows that maybe just retired and came here and wanted to go somewhere that was close to where they lived and find their home theater. I mean, there are people that have done shows at Francis Wilson, myself included, for decades at a time.
Yeah.
So they find their home theater, they put all of their energy into it, and they have a great time. And I've seen some incredible performances from all the different theaters, not only community and professional in our area. We have an embarrassment of riches locally.
We do. It's a great theater scene, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
In Tampa Bay, it really is. There's just so much to see and do. That's why I think it's ultimately kind of fun. You're doing the same show because there is a big audience out there, and they really want to see something fun. I try to tell this to a lot of people. I do believe theater should educate. I do believe it should enlighten. But I also believe it should be entertaining.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big important thing that we sometimes miss a little bit, you know. And I just think that Drowsy Chaperone's just a fun night out.
It really is.
And the opportunity to get to do it in two different places, plus enjoy all the restaurants around there as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because there's a real interesting sort of, environment of restaurants and places you can go to at both venues.
Yeah.
And I think they would appreciate that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm excited too because, Nathan, I'm about to do a burlesque show with you.
Yes, you are.
So tell me just a little quick bit about your theatrical company. You have basically a production company.
I do. I own ND Theatricals, and we produce concerts, small musicals, musicals and burlesque shows. Mm-hmm. And the next burlesque show that we have is November 3rd at the Palladium Theater here in downtown St. Pete, which I cannot wait for. The first one we did back in July was a sellout. We had people standing in the wall. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And Matt will be hosting the show. And I'm so excited for that.
I'm going to be all dudded up. I said I'm almost 50 and I still dress like this. You know what I always say? You've heard of women's wear daily. Well, this is what men wear nightly. Yeah.
And we could not be more excited. We have 6 burlesque performers, 5 singers, 5 musicians. It's going to be the biggest cast we ever had. And it's just great. The burlesque community here in the Tampa Bay area is exploding.
Yeah.
It was big and it's been big for a while. But now there are almost a dozen troupes locally that do these kinds of shows. And we're very, very lucky to have gotten the Palladium and the side door to do our shows. And we're doing them quarterly there now.
Look at that. Another Paul Wilborn connection for the show today.
We love Paul. We all love Paul.
We all do. Carrie Ann, really quick before we go, you know, you're a director. What do you have? Do you have any advice for people who maybe want to audition for a show at a community theater, but they may be a little too nervous? They may not want to do it. Do you have any thoughts on what they should do or how they should come in?
Well, go for it. That's what I have to say. The only way you get better at it and less nervous is by doing it.
So true.
And there are so many different venues in this city to do that at, no matter which side of the bay you're on.
That's right.
So just go for it. Have fun. It's a great place to meet new friends, to hone your skills, learn a little something about yourself in the process. Yeah. We're very proud at MAD for welcoming new people. In fact, in our cast of the Drowsy Chaperone, we have probably only a third of the people are returning people.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of new people, talented people. And this is only my second time at MAD. I was in Assassins over there, and now I'm directing. So just go for it.
Yeah.
Have fun. Exciting. You know what? What I love about theater, if you screw up, if you mess up, you learn something, and you don't die.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I always say, too. And somebody said, was the show a success? I said, it stopped and started, and no one died. We're all
in business.
That's what I always say. But that's great. Well, it's so great to have the both of you. Audiences out there in Tampa Bay, if you want to have a fun night celebrating musical comedy in the best possible way with a man in the chair to guide you through it, go see The Drowsy Chaperone at both Francis Wilson and MAD Theater in Tampa. And where's Francis Wilson?
Francis Wilson's located in downtown Clearwater on Seminole Strip.
Downtown Clearwater. I was about to say Largo, but that's not right. Downtown Clearwater.
Yeah, downtown, right downtown in Clearwater.
Listen, Clearwater's a great place to visit, too.
It really is.
You might run into Tom Cruise.
You might.
I'm sure he's seeing The Drowsy Chaperone.
I'm sure he's coming.
Yeah. He loves theater with, you know, 3 syllables. I love it. The both of you are terrific, and we will be right back. We're going to take another break, and then after that, we're going to maybe wrap up this show. It's been a lot of fun. You're listening to In the Limelight.
Hello to our In the Limelight listeners. This is Abby, one of the producers of our St. Pete podcast. Every episode of In the Limelight is recorded at Coastal Creative, which is really convenient because we're obsessed. On Saturday, October 22nd, Coastal is hosting a 2-man comedy show featuring the hilarious Rick Glassman and Eric Griffin. Come enjoy stand-up comedy and a taping of the Take Your Shoes Off podcast. And for our weekend warriors, if you're looking for a boozier St. Pete celebration, Coastal is hosting the 2022 St. Pete Brewfest on Friday, November 4th and Saturday, November 5th. Come sample beers, check out local vendors, and find your new favorite brewery. Check out CoastalCreativeTV.com for details, times, and all the good stuff.
It's my favorite part of the show, and it's not because it's the end, because I love spending time with you, Jose, but this is, one more thing. This is a moment where we can pitch one thing. Last time we did the show, I think I pitched like 5 things. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Jose, to pitch one thing, and I promise I will pitch one thing.
Mine is not necessarily a pitch, but I wanted to congratulate you on 2 awards that you won. 2 in 1 year. Congratulations, my friend.
Can you remember in the first episode I joked and said I was the Susan Lucci of Tampa Bay?
And now you have 2.
And now I have 2. I was telling you earlier in the show, it was kind of an interesting year for me because I felt like people were doing maybe shows that were a little more, I don't want to say fluffy, that's a bad way to put it because there's nothing fluffy about Murder on the Orient Express, but they're more crowd-pleasing shows which kind of called upon what I do, I guess.
Right.
And so to be recognized for both Murder on the Orient Express and then, of course, I Love to Eat, playing James Beard.
Yes.
What an embarrassment of riches. I was almost ashamed to even say it. But it's really interesting and fun to be the reader's pick and the critic's pick.
Yes.
I am humbled, and I don't see these things coming around much more as the years go by. And, because there's some new, young, hungry diverse children ready to take it on, and I'm happy to see that happen. Yeah, so, but I'm thrilled. Yeah. I'm thrilled to have that. It's a great honor.
Oh, well deserved.
Thank
well
you
deserved.
So much. Yeah, thank you.
Of course, of course.
I don't really have one more thing. The only thing I can tell you, no, I do. I do. I do have one more thing. We've got a lot. You know, I really love, we were talking about this today, about all these great people that we have in here talking about the arts in St. Petersburg. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, if I could say anything to people as they get prepared, this is Halloween. We're coming up on Christmas. We're getting to the end of the year. I really think you should think about every theater company, every nonprofit around here will do an end-of-the-year donation campaign.
Yeah.
So if you think about it and you have a little bit to spare, consider it a great holiday gift to your favorite nonprofit, your theater company here in town. While things continue to improve and get better, theaters are still dealing with a lot.
Yes.
And it's slow. It's coming back, but it's slow. And we want to continue to be able to tell wonderful, exciting stories to Tampa Bay. So consider that on your way as you think about who you're going to donate to at the end of this year.
Yeah, support the arts and the
artists. Support the arts
right.
and the artists, because it's so important. And what's really great about a lot of these, we have these two great theater companies in Tampa Bay. Not only are we seeing a lot of local artists working here, but we also bring wonderful people in from out of town who come here and say, wow, I love this town. I love this company. Yeah. I love this city. And that's really good for all of us because it increases our profile
that's
out
right.
there.
Yeah.
So, you know, St. Pete is more than just museums. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
When they're great. But yeah. But this is a great town for the performing arts. And so continue to support it. And we'll be back next time within the limelight. I know if it's anything like this show, I mean, with everybody's in for a treat.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be a holiday show, won't it, Abby?
Yeah.
Oh, holiday. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Kwanzaa time is here. It's going to be great. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we'll see you next time on In the Limelight.